and if she just has joined us or not. She might be coming in a minute. She's from Friend of Jason's Jam, which is probably where you know her. And she has a new project that I'd love for her to share with us too.
Cool. That's very exciting. So if we so we're going to start today with small presentations from the presenters. So let's start maybe with Lynn from California.
Great. Thanks for providing this platform, Carlos. I think it's really important that we're talking about what our new world is going to look like and how we can all adapt to that. So you had asked to have us present a little bit about where we've been before COVID-19 and where we're at today. We came off of a great 2019. Well, to back up a minute, just to tell you a little bit about who we are a farmstead operation that we have our own dairy, and we have been milking about 450 Holstein cows on our dairy, utilizing all of that milk at our creamery on the farm for our farmstead products, Original Blue. And we also housed a culinary center there that provided agritourism, cooking classes, farm dinners, a lot of education about farmstead cheeses and applications, both for the public and also for the trade. That was a thriving business as well. And then we opened up 2 years ago a second creamery in Petaluma, about 20 miles away from our farm, where we were purchasing some local milk for that creamery. So we had grown to the point of having two creameries, which is great, and really supporting other producers with outside milk for that creamery. Our first quarter of 2020 was tracking along at about 10% growth over 2019, which was great. We introduced some new products last holiday season that we were kind of relaunching as everyday items. So we were on target with new promotions, new placements that were being booked with our promotional calendars starting in really March and then through the spring, summer, and then planning and gearing up for all the holiday shows with our distributors and our retailers. So things seemed to be going along great. We were hiring people, new cheesemakers, we had ads out. Probably like everybody else, it was a good time. And then we had California was one of the first states to really shut down all the businesses, and that was on March 13th. We have changed dramatically since March 13th, and you know, our number one concern and focus has been our employees. The health and the well-being of our family of employees and our community around us. All the while, we are trying to balance cows and milk and going into cheese vats and cheesemakers making cheese and then our aging room. So we are working with a lot of our community members to manage that balance. We've had some other co-ops here purchase some of our milk to help balance that. We unfortunately had to stop purchasing milk for our Petaluma plant, and we're using all of our own milk for both plants now. We've been contracting the best we can as everybody is feeling it with restaurants, all food service closed. Now we're going on, I think, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. It's making everybody reassess how we do business. We're into policy writing these days, which has been a great thing. And once again, keeping the communication lines open with our employees has been a key role of our daily, weekly, as it's ever changing. In Northern California, we have a group called the Food Industry Group, which is in Marin and Sonoma County. We have other food manufacturers that are all networked. working together. It's an organization that's been around for probably about 5 or 6 years, and it has really shown its value in our networking during this crisis and sharing information and sharing resources. We just picked up masks last night from Amy's Kitchen down the street. So really partnering and finding those different resources and not having to kind of reinvent the wheel has been a strength in our community and has been a real positive for food manufacturers and agricultural manufacturers here in the North Bay.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yes.
Sorry. We'll come back to you.
Okay, great.
If you're getting feedback on the line, what I would recommend is putting on headphones if you've got them, or calling in on a telephone would be the other way to do it. Okay, why don't we move on to our next guest? Can I have Tabitha call? Tabitha, introduce yourself. Our representative from the non-cheese world for a second, and we'll get back to you, Rin.
Okay.
Tabitha, are you on? You got on mute if you're not on. Hello. Okay. Well, let's move on to our next guest. Maybe we can talk to Benton Brown from Crown Finish Caves. Benton, are you on and unmuted? Benton, are you on? You seem to be muted.
There we are.
Now
yeah.
We hear you.
Yeah, now we hear you.
Producers, and we receive cheese every month, and
I think that was great, Benton. And so we can a couple of questions we will lock the queue.
Tabitha is on. She should unmute herself.
So. Hey, hi Tabitha. There. Hi. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to powwow and talk with each other during such a trying time. My name is Tabitha. I am the owner of Friend in Cheese's Jam Company, and I also own Terroir in a Jar, which is a co-packing program for local organic farmers. I'm here in Santa Cruz in Northern California, and it has been a challenge, I think, as all of us. I have a different dynamic than some of you, as I hire women through the Homeless Garden Project. So I am dealing with women that already are in housing insecurity, as well as keeping them employed and keeping them safe, as well as keeping a safe work environment for ourselves, our community, and our customers for the future, when whatever that's going to be. I think I'll keep it at that, I guess, at this moment, because I think there's a few more people to talk, and then I guess we'll round robin questions about how we're coping with this situation. Thank you so much, guys.
Wonderful. Rin?
Yep. So this is Rin. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Great. Hi, so I... concerning as it was for our travel just 45 days ago I was having the executive coach, who has been instrumental, and if you don't have one currently, I suggest you reach out and find somebody. I'm sure there's a retired executive out there somewhere who's willing to interview you, and that's been very helpful for me. But we were sitting down and kind of planning out, we had working up our mozzarella making machine. Process of purchasing a water buffalo herd and putting on our dairy farm. And we had some new cheeses that we were launching with a large grocery retailer that were literally going to be 100% sales growth in our cheese business. And you know, all of that everything we had built and all of the excitement was slipping away. And I remember building models and projections and trying to figure out what it was going to look like in November and how we would use it that far. And very quickly came to realize that this was a situation we needed to manage day by day, and that was my aha moment. So we started with how do we get through today? And then we started moving about 2 weeks ago into how do we get through the next 3 days. And right now I would say we've gone to how do we get through the next 4 or 5 days. That has been very, very helpful for us. We have turned it into business. We went from being largely wholesale focused, shipping to restaurants, to being almost 100% retail focused in online sales. And I'm really trying to drive different sales ideas through that online platform. It's not going to save the business, but it is going to keep the lights on. And so far, we haven't cut the way off.
Thank you, Ryan. So we have heard a little bit from everyone. Benton and Rin, these things happen when some of the parts of their business were being canceled or moved down. But that is just what was that moment of realization, and also what, how is the decision making happening? There's a lot of businesses out there that really haven't had this moment, or
and could I just ask people, we are, everybody's got a timeline here, so just please try to keep it brief, because there's a lot of interest and a lot of people have got questions and things. Lynn?
I think you may need to unmute yourself.
Yeah, you might be muted, Lynn.
Okay.
Got
can
it.
You guys
yep.
hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That star. Okay. Star six does that. I just heard. yeah, Rin. I think that you said it. How we're all feeling. I mean, to say that there is a moment of realization. It's the two when your governor says we're shutting down. And it's day to day, it's hour to hour, you're pivoting, there's a problem all day long, and it's challenged us to find solutions all day long. We are planning as things change. Nobody knows when we're going to reopen and what that looks like. I think the biggest thing that is part of our planning is listening to our customers and our consumers and how they want to get cheese. We are making sure that we are starting to plan if restaurants are going to have only 50 seats instead of 100 seats, we're going to start cutting meals in half. We're going to accommodate people and work with them in a partnership so that they can manage their inventory and their movement of cheese on a cost level. So that makes sense.
If you don't mind me interjecting,
that's it.
One question for you, Lynn, is when you talk about listening to your customers, how are you communicating with them? Is it all just calling each one individually? Are you getting them? Are people coming in over the transom trying to contact you and let you know what their needs are?
Well, we're keeping in touch with our distributors for sure on a daily basis to find out how are you, what can we do to help. A lot of that is kind of at a standstill a little bit. So as far as our distributor partners, we're talking to on a regular basis, same with retailers. A lot of it, though, is through social media. That is our biggest way to communicate, and I think this has been an opportunity for us, as well as a lot of other family farms, to really be forward-facing and engaging and telling people that, hey, you know what, we're still here. We're doing live farm tours right now on our website, as an example, on our social media. So it gives people a sense of that, hey, the farm is still operating. We've got cows, we're milking cows. We're managing, and we're going to ride this out. We are going to make this work, however it is. And that's the best way to communicate is through social media.
Wonderful. Can you hear me now from Francis, please?
Yes, I think I'm unmuted.
It was kind of interesting because the day before California was announced the shutdown, I was the last surgery at the surgery center in Santa Cruz. My doctor actually told me that I probably was going to be of the last wave because they were going to be closing down the surgery center. So as I'm recovering, I'm also trying to figure out what's next. And distribute. My aha moment was the week after, I'd say the third week of March, when the POs dried up. Online orders were trickling, but like the others said, it was social media and the tenacity and the strength, I think, of our food community that has helped all of us pivot, reinvent, reimagine how our new normal is going to be, because food's going to keep coming and we have to be there to provide it, especially producers like us that are of the higher end of mindfulness of animal management and the earth. So it's distribution, restaurants, as we all know, it's going to be a different world. But I have taken the pivot, as in my kitchen has become a hub for a few caterers to be able to create meals for those that cannot get out. So that has created a little bit of revenue, as well as camaraderie and a place to talk about, work out, and process this monumental, historical, never in history before event. I am hoping that Friend and Cheeses will survive, but I honestly don't know at this point, because I don't know what our economy is going to be able to bear for a kind of luxury seeming item as what we create. So things might change, but I won't change my quality. I will not undermine my integrity with myself, my products, the farms I work with. It's just going to be a new normal. I probably am going to start catering again when those days pick up. Anything to not close, shutter our doors. And that is my hope for all of us. I think it's a collective worry, but at the same time, I think it's creating this kinetic energy of there is going to be a tomorrow. It's just not going to be the yesterday that we were familiar with. But we will adjust and we will find that way, because people need to eat. And as we also know, food is love. So we're not going to stop this. We're not going to let the craft and the smuckers of the world overtake because of a bump in the road, a serious bump. But I have really high hopes, and that there is going to be a beautiful new normal. I just don't have any idea what that's going to be, and there's going to be a lot of top ramen in my future and a lot of late nights. And as long as I can keep my tiny staff of women safe and employed and learning, then I'm winning, even if it doesn't show in my bank account for a while. But and I hope the very best for all of you guys. Thank you.
So our realization, as I mentioned, came fairly early in late February because of a trip to Italy and what we're developing over there. And when we started hearing from our friends that they were turning away, restaurants were shut down, but that our restaurant and our retail shop were keeping one from the public out of our facility to kind of protect our people. And then we kind of had this moment where we realized that everything was shutting down. And if we wanted to keep everyone employed, and we wanted to buy milk from our dairy farm, we needed to figure out a way to clean that milk. And so that's when
figure out how to get here in November. Let's figure out how to be here tomorrow. And let's figure out how to do that in a way that we don't have to lay anybody off and we don't have to, we hopefully don't run out of money. So we actually adjusted our work schedule. Of our employees, first week in March, we have a log of everything in the temperature. We started just communicating daily with our staff, checking in with them to see how they were feeling, not just physically but emotionally. Were they nervous? Were they feeling so comfortable coming in? We continue to do that today. Of course, during the pivot, we started our virtual mozzarella classes, which has been a huge success for us. And basically, we keep figuring out a way to make it through. And so far, we have contracted the amount of milk we're purchasing, but we are starting to ramp that back up now.
I wanted to break in here, and you bring up a really important point that I want to put to our panelists. You talk about taking temperatures, taking logs of people coming in and out. What are the things that the rest of you guys are doing to potentially control the spread of COVID on your premises and inside your businesses?
Well, I think, we are ahead of the curve in this. We are, we have to have plans, sanitary plans, and place. And so doing things like we always wipe down door handles, we always sanitize the plant in a way with our swabbing protocols, and obviously that's not technically COVID-19, but just knowing that those surfaces are clean, checking out our swabbing protocols, anybody working in close proximity in the creamery is wearing face mask, reminding everybody to wash hands. But I think we have the benefit of already being a very clean facility, and I think a lot of creameries operate that way as well. That kind of puts us at less of a risk of transmission because we already have those programs in place. So just kind of reminding everyone and implementing a few new things.
Is there anybody else on the panel who would like to comment on this?
I wanted just to say one thing. It was this is Tabitha. When I was mentioning that we had other chefs come in, it is in different hours of nobody has contact, and my shift now. We have lessened the amount of people to be able to keep more space, and the kitchen is now closed. No pickups from the kitchen, no public coming in. A delivery is delivered outside at a secondary cleaning area before we wipe down a pallet before it gets processed and brought in. But I think in general, because of GMP and HACCP and due diligence, we all were probably ahead of the game. But that's about the only difference. The kitchen is just closed to the public and keeping distance and ramping up, sanitation practices.
I would add to that, this is Mike on. Everything that Brent said, we do all that stuff, but I'm trying to add down as part of our food safety plan.
I mean, the cheese industry is so hyper aware of microbes to begin with. all right, thank you. Thank you, guys.
That was excellent. Thank you. And, you know, we obviously are asking some of my questions on the question. So, just as a sort of round of thinking, I also want to ask you a question. Thank you. Post questions, we're going to make sure to try to get yes to them. So, we start putting them there, and we're going to answer them. What would you like to hear after?
I'll add to that. One of the things that we're getting requested is pre-cut and wrap, specifically when a monger will get a wheel. We recognize, and we're hearing from people, that labor is an issue. Whether people are they're being deployed to another part of the store because the center of the store is taking the attention and they need to help out in other areas, we're just not, the cheese counters, unfortunately, are just not having that representation as they were a month ago. We know that that will come back, but we're trying to get ahead of that and provide, if we can provide you with cut and wrap that we do that helps out. So that is a big part of that shift that we're hearing from customers. Getting back to other things that we're doing as far as our business plan, we are fortunate and have really set up our business where we have 2 creameries now, so that we have a backup creamery team. So we keep our teams isolated. Once again, they're 20 miles apart. So we're able to do this, but we're so fortunate that, you know, we can have these 2 teams, that if one team does have people that do get sick, we can close that down and bring another team in. Of course, that means that, you know, we're kind of overstaffed a little bit, but that's okay. We want to make sure that we've got the plan in place so that we can ride this out and make sure that we can keep our employees, staff, and working. One more thing that we're doing, that there's 22 million people unemployed right now. That means food banks are just dying for food. And so we are starting to work with our food banks. We're starting to work with our communities here, making sure that people get food, and cheese is one of the best sources of protein. And so, you know, that is an area where we feel like we are contributing and makes a difference in the larger community. And then one last thing I'll mention before I pass the mic over is we are seeing a boom in our retail and our farmers market. And that is the silver lining, is that people, if they can't get outside of their homes, there is a lot of people. We're seeing numbers from the holidays right now that we typically get. that means that people still are buying cheese. They're still sourcing out their loyal brand. They want to have that small luxury in their home. And we're providing, like I know a lot of other online companies, free shipping so that they're getting that same price that if they went to a store during the time when the shelter in place. Tabitha, I'm going to contact you afterwards. I would love to get some of your products, put them in our gift boxes. I think those are the type of partnerships that we can help each other with. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But I think that we still have a very strong beef community and consumer out there that even if they can't get to the store, they're looking for American cheese. American cheese.
This program, I would say, a couple things I would recommend.
Carlos, I'd love to hear what you have learned from Mr. Thought about online retail, and I want to circle back because I want to talk about the community.
No,
so,
I was just going to say, and it actually probably goes into that question, that if you're trying to find a way, don't be afraid to set up a website, Shopify, or Square. Shopify, but there's other ones out there that you can literally in a few hours set up a Shopify site. And we actually work with FedEx, but I know the U.S. Postal Service does a great job of it. Quite economically, it's easy to do the same thing. The flat rate shipping is something that can be very cheap. And I know that a lot of other food makers I've talked to have been scared down that path because they feel like it's too much information and it's overwhelming. But I promise you that you can Shopify and FedEx and UPS and service is something that you can do if you can figure out the flat rate, like the flat rate log with FedEx. It guarantees 2 days shipping anywhere in the country and it's $10. So it's something that a minimal amount of refrigeration, and it's something that you can actually set up very easily, even if you just wanted to start with one product. I would highly encourage everyone to do that. To Lynn's point, we did 40,000 in online sales in December, which is usually 3 to 4 times the month of a regular month, and we have already done that in the first. So we had to shift our resources to be able to accommodate the small packages and the large number of packages going out. But again, it's justifying having people here, and it makes it, and it feels good. Like in this time of uncertainty, if we can feel like what we're doing is going out into the world and created, it's just a huge morale boost.
I'll just add in there that the Monger itself is working on a B2C sales site for those of you who don't want to lead into the Shopify world, and that should be, and along with some, hopefully some bulk negotiation rates from FedEx and others. We'll give you more information about that when it's available. But thank you, Rin. Now, can people talk about ingredients? Can people talk about sourcing milk, sourcing other stuff? How's that pipeline going?
I'll I'll talk as a farm said. We're using, which a lot of producers are doing, we're using our milk in our longer age cheeses. So I think the struggle is with, you know, fresh cheeses, soft ripened cheeses, and moving those in within the shelf lifetime. So a lot of people are converting their milk into aged cheeses if they're not already making them, that's what they're focusing on. Otherwise, there are some people are, it's just, the country's long on milk. That's the reality right now. So there's some incentives with USDA that are coming down the pike. They're not set yet, but they are asking for dairies to lower their milk supply. So whether that's drawing their cows for a little while, they're doing that. But the food service decline is put everything kind of on a pause. So people are having to look at different sources or ways to use their milk.
I was wondering, you know, just pivoting off of that, I'm wondering how many of you guys are, I know Lynn, you guys, you know, have your own herd, and, you know, are you still selling fluid milk? Like, how's that balance been for you in the current situation?
Well, we were actually using our milk, and we were buying from other producers for our Petaluma plant. So we have stopped buying and just using our own milk again. So that's how we've decreased our milk supply and managing that for right now.
And does anyone else want to talk about their milk supply or their ingredients change?
This is
Ren.
Gotten all the proper approval. All that happened, which is why we're trying to move back to production as much as possible. So, to Lynn's point, there's an oversupply of milk currently, but we're trying to do everything we can to shorten the amount of time that bird.
Thank you so much. If you want to go back to Carlos's questions.
Oh, sorry, I was just before you keep taking cheese from producers, and you know, on the other side they're not doing it themselves, but they have not completely gone into cotton wrap.
Yes.
That was
Well, I can offer a little bit to you on how we can both get that. Our pricing online on the retail site, we actually built some buffer into the price of our TVs so that if an order got to more than £5, there was enough built into the cost of the fees that we could then afford to offer. More bang for the buck inside the box. But it also allowed us to then advertise the market shipping without completely, everyone on the call knows, margins in RDC can be challenging, particularly when we're trying to compete with the Amazons of the world. So that was something that was a model that was recommended to us.
I'm hearing that the distinctive part about the format seems to be, and your size seems to be really critical from both a safety and from a sales perspective. I'd love to hear maybe what your most successful, what are your most successful products going out online? And what are, what size is what presentation?
I would say for us, our most successful have been things that are tied to some type of interactive online or virtual mozzarella classes. We ship the fermented mozzarella curds. They arrive. Thank you. Yeah, I would agree. The recipes online and the interaction with the Instagram Live, it's been really fun, especially since it's grilled cheese month. So for us, our Toma, which is an everyday cheese, has been really successful. And then just our Taste of Point Ways. I think anytime you get a loyal customer, they want to know what's coming straight from, you know, the farm or, you know, your core products and things that they're used to. You know, we do keep in mind that people are not having big gatherings right now. That's just our life right now while we're all shelter in place. And so a variety of cheese, our Taste of Point Ways, that's one of, you know, four of our cheeses. That's been really popular. But the videos and the interaction, that's what people are looking at constantly now, is their phone. So if you can bring a little bit of what you do into their world, it's comforting.
I'm going to add that we're going to have a social media for makers, a webinar coming up. So look out for that. I know that it's a big driver for folks.
Thank you. Well, we are right at the hour mark. I want to thank all our presenters. As we just said, we're open to questions if you want to know. And thank you everyone who joined today. We're here trying to help.
Yeah, thanks to all the presenters. Thanks to you, Carlos, and always to Polis. And, you know, we're looking to share more information. We'll hear about our next webinar. And stay strong.